All right. There we go. Welcome back. Good evening. Carl's a good guy, isn't he? He's crazy. And now someone else in Iowa can deal with him somewhere else, and so do that. But no, he's really passionate. And one of the things, Carl and I actually became friends over one event we did. Actually, we met each other for the first time. We actually really became friends over the telephone. And we just had a few conversations where I would ask him about who he had witnessed to on his trips and stuff. And he wasn't witnessing to anybody. Wasn't witnessing to anybody at the hotel, waiters and waitresses, nothing. He was just doing his, you know, ministry job. Can't we all get caught up in our jobs and do that and forget about all the souls, you know, just like Penn right there, that are around us? Well, Carl took that next step and started sharing his faith like all the time now, okay? And his zeal, his passion, it just kicked up a whole nother notch because of that. Because that's what you lose. You lose the kick out of your walk if you're not out there sharing your faith in Jesus Christ and doing that, okay? So that's one thing I've seen with Carl, because he's growing. His prayers are real humble because he wants God to keep molding and shaping him and do that. And you never reach the point of arriving as a Christian. You don't reach that point. We're always moldable and shapeable. You need to be teachable. One thing I pray all the time is, Father, keep me teachable. Because a teachable spirit's a humble spirit. An unteachable spirit is a prideful spirit. Okay? And I got to stay teachable all the days of my life. There's no way he can do through me what he wants to do through me and do that. Okay? So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you. so much to be here. Father God, thanks for the great turnout on a Saturday evening. And I know people have to make choices, and some of us might rather be watching an Iowa State-Texas game or something like that. And but, you know, choices have consequences. As I tell parents all the time, probably the best thing we can ever teach young people is consequences to actions. If they can ever realize there's consequences to actions, both good and bad, we'll think about our action first before we want to deal with the consequences down the road. We'll actually think about it before we do things and be doers of the word. So I just want to thank you for that. Just get that knocked into our heads as we go through this talk tonight and do this. Father, I just hope it glorifies your name, that we'll be much more encouraged to walk out of here and really stand for you in the coming days and do this. So we thank you for it. Let it have a just good finish to the finish line here for the conference this weekend. So we thank you for it. We ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, amen. Now, how many people came to the seminar this afternoon, did the afternoon seminar? Okay, now, we had a homework assignment. What was the homework assignment? Share your faith with one person before you came back. Okay, now, if you handed a gospel tract to somebody, if you gave someone a book or had a conversation with someone in that two-hour block of time, raise your hand up if you did that, okay? Oh, my goodness. Leave those hands up. Look it, that's a lot. That was much, much more than I expected. Wow, hands down for a second, because you only had like 2 hours. It was a pretty quick turnaround. So you had to be intentional, didn't you? See, that's something somebody said. He said to me one time, you're very intentional, okay? Now, wait a minute. Isn't the arch enemy of God intentional as well? Oh, yeah, he wants your kids. He wants your kids big time. He's coming after your kids. He's coming after you. He's trying to put a divide in between a husband and a wife. Intentional. We should be intentional. There's nothing wrong with being intentional. I think Jesus was very intentional with the woman at the well, very intentional with the rich young ruler. And at the end of that conversation, what did the rich young ruler do? He did what? He walked away. Was he thinking, yes or no? Oh, he was thinking. You better believe it. He had a pebble in his shoe, and he was going to walk and have to think about that conversation he just had with the Son of God, okay? So being intentional is a good thing. Okay, now, raise your hand back up if you did share with somebody in the last 2 hours. Raise your hand up. Okay, now, be honest with me, okay? If you had fun doing it or enjoyed it, raise your other hand up if you enjoyed it, okay? Yeah, that's one of the other things that changed my life is I just thought, no, this is someone else's job. This is going to be dreary. And little did I realize how much fun, okay, you get into these conversations. You get nervous sometimes. When I first started witnessing years ago, I'd wear dark blue and dark black shirts. Okay, that's it. Would wear no other color shirt. Because I would get so nervous, I would what? Sweat, okay, so bad, I didn't want them to see me sweating. So I'd wear these dark colored shirts so they couldn't see me sweating, okay? Now I can wear any shirt under the sun, okay, because I enjoy it. I'm looking forward, okay, as I'm walking, I handed a couple tracks out downtown. But then we walked out a dinner at, where were we at? Where were we at? Who did we have dinner with? Right, we were walking out of there, and Jacob, right? And Jacob and Daniel. And so Jacob and I walk out, but before we walked over, Jacob and I walked out downtown square, and we saw a young man sitting by himself on a bench. So we walked over, his name is Dario, and, or Dario, and a 22-year-old guy, and we start talking, okay? Start asking questions. He grew up in church, okay? But wasn't born again and saved. Okay, so we talked about what biblical salvation was, but it was just someone just, you know, Jacob and I just walked up to and chatted to just on the streets right there and do that, okay? So it's, again, intentional. We intentionally walked up to that person and did that, okay? Ingrid, is that you back there? Ingrid, go ahead and stand up, yes. Girl, stand up, yes, I love your accent. Okay, now, what did, tell me what you did at the, when you were shopping again. A little louder, please. Ingrid just said, when she said, I want to see you there, she just said, I will never forget the expression on her face, okay? Because that's a caring moment, is that correct? Yeah, that's a caring moment, that this woman cared about that lady, behind April, behind the counter, wherever you're at, and do that. Wasn't there a caring moment in the video with Penn, yes or no? Oh, there was a big caring moment there. It was all on his countenance. And if you ever can look at the video a little closer, you can see his eyes, okay? And you can sense there the caring that took place there, okay? And one thing I always share with people, it might be a good thing to write down, is they can argue with the truth that we share, but they can never argue with the love that we show. Okay? They can argue with the truth that we share. Some people want to get in just arguments sometimes. Okay, sometimes we'll have people come up after a talk and just want to start firing questions at you. And finally, sometimes Carl and I, we just stop and say, wait a minute, are you asking me questions because you want to find out an answer? Or are you just asking me questions to figure out I don't know something? Okay, what's your point? What's your motive behind it? Okay, so you can argue with the truth that we share, but you cannot argue with the what? Love that we show. It's inarguable. You cannot argue with love. Okay, that's why we always be loving, caring, and kind when we're out there. And that's exactly... when you saw that look on her face back at you, Ingrid, she was seeing a caring lady that just didn't care about her physically, but cared what? About her soul as well, and do that, okay? Jim, stand up. You and Jonathan, you stand up too. And this is a, about to say a husband and wife team. That would be incorrect, wouldn't it? Sorry there, Jonathan. And a father-son team that witnesses all the time. And tell Jim nice and loud what you and your son just did. I prayed that God would direct your steps. They're from another city. How far away? Right. So I invited him to come to dinner with us at someone's house because they had driven away, and you told me no. Why?
Because he challenged us, and I felt that God wanted me to go somewhere.
So he knew that God wanted him to go somewhere else so he could go witness to somebody. Now think about that for a second, okay? That's someone focused, intentional, correct, to make sure I run across someone's path and plant a seed, okay? Go ahead. Okay, now you wound up in what city? Corden, Iowa, and he ran into Rick Santorum, the presidential candidate, at the place he was at. Now, turn to the crowd and tell us how that went with Rick. He actually witnessed to Rick Santorum this afternoon.
I just asked a few questions. It wasn't like I could sit there and go through the Roman program or anything like that. And I asked him what
I just encouraged her, and I'm going to send her the one book that the other book that I bought from you.
Right. So you ask God to order your steps. He wants you to a restaurant. And he did. That's exactly right. He always does, actually, and do that. And so he actually got Rick Santorum's address, because what did you tell him? Why did you ask for his address? He told him he wanted to send him a book. Mr. Santorum gave him his address, and so I just signed a book for Mr. Santorum, and now he's going to mail the book to him and do that, okay? So you look at, what did one thing Carl talk about is sometimes you want to, if you miss an opportunity, what did the guy in the video do? He went back the next night. You may not run into Rick Santorum again. So you want to, what? Do it right then when you have the opportunity in front of you and do that. You always take advantage of those opportunities and do that, okay? I mean, just fascinating stories to think about. Did you like that video with Penn up there? That's a very telling video, okay? I believe it's been completely pulled off the internet, okay? I believe Penn pulled it off because I've tried to find it out on YouTube and it's no longer there. It talks about rights uses and stuff like that. What happened was, what happened was, is he's getting hammered by the atheists, okay, for that video, because you saw a little piece of his heart right there, okay, and that did not make atheists look good, okay, at all, so they pulled the video. On the table downstairs, the men's talk I did called Biblical Men Wanted Now, that clip is actually at the beginning of that video. Okay, because when I wound up giving a men's conference, they actually played the video before I walked on stage. So I had to make a play off the video, because I mean, they played it for 5-6 minutes before I walked up. So we actually pulled it off the internet and put it on the video, and now they've pulled it. So you actually can still look at it off that video down there, but I don't know if you're going to be able to find it, though, off his website or out on YouTube and do that, because he's pulled that, okay? Take your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 4. Go to Colossians 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go to Colossians 4. And let's go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me some volunteers, please. Colossians 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. Jake 3. Young lady there, 4, ma'am, 5, and then 6 right there, okay? So Colossians 4 through 2 through 6. Now, some students of mine when I was teaching school, they called this the witnessing paragraph. I had students of mine who would leave their Bible open on their nightstand next to their bed to Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and would read it every night. And one of those boys to this day is still a bold share of his faith in Jesus Christ, one of those boys. He's a police officer now, and he came to hear me speak down in Columbus, Georgia. Matt, I had him a sophomore boy. And so I was talking with Matt after the service, and I said, Matt, do you still share your faith? He was a very bold young man. He said, oh, Mr. Cale, I still share my faith. I said, who do you witness to, Matt? He said, the people I arrest. And so when he arrests people, he shares Jesus Christ with them on the way to the station because he knows the jail cell doesn't change your heart. Jesus Christ changes your heart. And he learned it as a little basketball player that played for me, Matt, and now he's a police officer, a grown man, married and stuff, still sharing his faith in Jesus Christ and doing that, okay? But this is a paragraph he had by his bed and did it. Colossians 4, and let's go to verse 2. Okay, hang on. Hang on for a second. The speaker was in Philippians, so he made a mistake. And, sorry. So to go to Colossians 4, and again, verse 2. Continue in what? Prayer. You prayed for God, Jim, right, to order your steps, correct? And watch God do that, okay? Sometimes when situations pop up in front of you on a street that might be out of your realm or your control at the moment, what's a good thing to do right then? Pray. Stop and pray. My martial art, Mr. McMahon. Stand up real quick. Mr. McMahon, you right there. And tell the story you just told me about the lady at your business.
She looked at me for a minute, she goes,
So she'll keep a daughter in class as long as you stop talking about Jesus. Okay, what'd you say?
I said as long as I could breathe and stand, it'd be part of every class.
It'll be part of every class. So she signed her daughter up?
No.
Oh.
She turned and just stormed out the door. And after she left, I had one of the parents sitting there. And I said, why don't you stick up for me? Why don't you help me? And she goes, I was, Mr. Camp. I had my head down in prayer.
So as he was witnessing, she saw the encounter happen, which might have been a little out of her realm.
After the class that night, I felt like that's all because, you know, here I was thinking that my old parent that comes every class with her child, she has to put her head down so she didn't have to be part of the situation.
Right.
So
that's okay. It's part of the whole learning fun of witnessing, okay? Because does prayer work, yes or no? Yes. One of my favorite ministers is a Noah Hutchings from a Southwest Radio Church ministry. He's 84 years old. He does more for God at 84 than I'll ever dream about doing in probably a day of my life. I mean, he's just an amazing guy. But the theme of his, the motto of his ministry is God is still on his throne and prayer changes things. Just simple. God is still on his throne. No matter how crazy you see this world get, God is on his throne. He doesn't take days off. I take days off. He doesn't take days off. Okay, and prayer changes things. So as soon as that happened, you had prayer support coming up from another lady right there and do that. But sometimes as businessmen and business ladies, we sometimes worry about what? Losing the income that could have came from that lady. I did an event in Kansas City. A dentist walked up to me and said, I hear you, I got you, I understand. He said, what I'm concerned about, though, okay, is if I start sharing with my patients, I'm going to what? Lose business. Okay, that was his big thing. His money was tight on him and stuff. Dr. Rory was his name. And I said, I get it. I said, you believe in that God that if one person walked away, he couldn't bring 10 more people to fill your seats up and get their teeth worked on. I understand. I got you. Okay. Well, he started smiling. He knows that's a lie. So we prayed for him. Okay. I prayed over him that he'd just be bold at work. What did we say today? Let the chips what? Fall where they may. Okay. And do that. That was a Sunday evening. I traveled back to Atlanta. When I got home Monday night in Atlanta, I got an email from Dr. Rory. He emailed me. He witnessed to 16 patients and workers for him on that Monday. 16 different people he witnessed to at work. Okay, two people came into his office and wanted to repent of their sins and get born again. Okay, you should have just heard the excitement in his email as he obeyed the Lord. Okay, and then he kept in touch for a while later. And of course, did God shut his business down? No, people kept showing up all the time and do that. I have a friend of mine in Pittsburgh. He's a cardiologist. Okay, he works on people's hearts. He witnesses to 100% of his patients. 100%. Every single person. I when I go visit up and speak in Pittsburgh, he has me at church every year. I go on rounds with him, and we witness to every single patient. Okay? Why? He's a cardiologist. He knows no matter how good he is, that's still going to stop at some point. Okay? No matter how good he is, it's going to stop. Okay? He has a threefold track with him. First part of the track is how to take care of yourself eating correctly. It's heart issue. How to exercise correctly, how to take care of yourself physically, and the third part is how to take care of yourself spiritually. Gives every one of his patients that, okay? This doctor has more business than any doctor out there. He actually wants to slow down just a bit, God's saying no. He brings in people all the time, okay? He just had an atheist over his house for Saturday morning breakfast, okay, because the atheist, actually I was there the day when he was in getting the catheter done, and we pulled into the waiting room, and the wife was there and stuff, and the lady said, please do not let my husband die. Like it's in the hand of man or something like that, right? Okay, and Dr. John said, why? He said, he's an atheist. Do not let him die. Okay, so Dr. John, he's doing the catheter, and you can look up on the screen, and he's looking at the screen, doing the catheter, looking at the video thing that's going in. He starts shaking his head. He starts shaking his head, and he's looking there, he's shaking his head at the thing. I'm standing to the side with the lead on and everything. I don't know what's going on, but it's kind of cool. And so when we finished, we went in his office. I said, Dr. John, can I ask you a question? I said, when you were looking at the TV screen type thing, you start shaking your head. What was that all about? He said, oh, let me show you. So he pulls up the film on his computer in his office. You see right here, Mark? Right here, he can only use 5% of his heart. Okay, now that's not what I saw, okay, but he's the doctor, so I'm just going to go with him on this one, okay? I started shaking my head, and he said he started praying, God, don't let this man die. He's going to die and go to hell. He said it right there, prayed it right there in the middle of when he was doing the catheter. Because that's a man who cares about the souls of his patient. He's not concerned if that man never comes back again. Okay, he's more concerned to make sure he's got the truth and do that, okay? So prayer does work. Colossians 4, 2, verse 3. Okay, which I am in chains. Pray that he will open a door. Did he open a door for y'all at the third restaurant you went to today? Yeah, he burned down a couple just so you get to the right one and do that, okay? But he opens up doors. I always pray for open doors to do that, okay? And watch him do that. Verse 4. Okay, that I ought to speak. We ought to be speaking about the things of God. Manifest, speaking it out and do that. Verse 5. Was it important how that man conducted himself in front of Penn when he witnessed to him, yes or no? Huge, 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 okay? If he would have been in a different mode, you would have never heard that or never seen that video clip right there and do that, okay? Redeeming the time, using the time wisely. One translation says, making the most out of every opportunity. I don't want to have to keep going back to people because I kept missing opportunities. Make the most out of every opportunity, what's in front of us. And then verse 6. Very good. Let your speech always be with what? Grace. Loving, caring, kind, graceful with people. Seasoned with salt. Okay? If you want to get a conversation spiced up, throw one word out there. What's the one word you can throw into any conversation to spice it up? What is it? It's Jesus. Yeah, it's not God. It's not the Son of God. Okay, it's not the big man upstairs and all this other stuff we're trying to do. That's disrespectful to God, by the way. It's Jesus. When you throw Jesus into a conversation, it is about to spice up a conversation. Very, very interesting, okay? So one of the things I meant to teach you today that I forgot, and it's a good thing to write down, is a question a buddy taught me. He asks people all the time. And the question he asks is, who is Jesus to you? Okay? Who is Jesus to you? What did Jesus say to Peter? Who do you say that I am? So who is Jesus to you? Just a good, simple question. Who is Jesus to you? You are going to get all kinds of answers to that. But you'll find out very quickly if you have a biblical answer or a non-biblical answer to that, okay? Who is Jesus to you? I had a guy from New Zealand in the Denver airport tell me as we were sitting, I said, by the way, who is Jesus to you? He said, the first televangelist. As a televangelist, okay, and TV's 50 years old or whatever. I was like, what? Oh, he was the first one that was doing miracles and trying to make money and stuff like that. That's what a man, and this guy, he hated God. He was a tough little character, okay, but that was his answer. I was in the Atlanta airport, kind of a longer-haired young man, went up and started chatting with him, and he's a grad student at Florida State, and I just forgot his name, and I said, we're talking. I said, by the way, I said, who is Jesus Christ to you? He said, he's the propitiation for the sins of the world, okay? If you don't commit your life to Jesus Christ, sir, you're going to die and go to hell. He was the Son of God who died on the cross for everybody's sins, and you got to make sure your life is committed to him. This kid came firing at me, okay? I told him, I said, it was the best answer I have ever heard to that question. I looked at him. I said, what are you studying? He said, I'm a music major. Graduate level piano major at Florida State. And I said, okay. I can't remember his name. And I said, if I interviewed your 20 closest friends in the music department, would they tell me that you have said that exact same thing you just said to me, you've told them as well? And his response was, no. Okay. See, it's not good enough just to say it when someone asks you the question. We need to proclaim and not be ashamed of the gospel, Romans chapter 1, and do that, okay? But that's why that's a very good question to do that, all right? And then the other thing I wanted to throw in there before we start this talk is I didn't say it today, but the book of Acts, someone just sent me a something. So he went through the entire book of Acts, front to back, looked at every witness encounter in the book of Acts, every single one. 62 witnessing encounters, 62, okay? Now, I haven't verified the numbers. I'm just going to tell you what he said, okay? 62 witness encounters, and he said 100% of them were to complete total strangers. There wasn't one encounter in the book of Acts, okay, to a family member or a friend, to complete total strangers. Okay, now, there's a lot we can learn from this. One, okay, do we need to walk up to strangers and share our faith, yes or no? Yes, yes. That's what you see. You see it all throughout scriptures, okay? But but we look at things like we teach our kids, you know, to be scared of strangers and stuff like that. No. Why don't you teach strangers to be afraid of your kids? Okay? Why don't you walk up to a stranger? Excuse me, that's my young son, Caleb, over here, and Caleb's going to come over and give you a gospel track, and if you could do me a favor, be nice to him, okay? All right, Caleb, go for it, okay? And just go over there and do it, okay? Why don't we do that? Why are we scared to walk up to strangers and get into conversation, okay? Every friend you have today at one point was a complete what? Total stranger at one point. How many people are married here? If you're married, raise your hand up, okay? At one point, your spouse was a complete, total what? Stranger. Okay, now be honest and be careful, okay? If you're glad you walked up and talked to that complete, total stranger eons ago, be very honest, raise your hand up, okay? Yeah, so you're glad you made that move. You're glad someone said hello and that's how the whole thing began, okay? And we're telling people to be scared of strangers. Absolutely don't be scared of strangers, okay? I love talking to strangers. Why? You forget to take it from the stranger's perspective, okay? And from a stranger's perspective, for many of them, they can tell you anything. Anything, and then you're gone. You see? They can dump on you, and you're not going to know their business when they see you tomorrow at work. You see the difference there? See, you forgot to take it from the stranger's perspective. I was at the Atlanta airport one day. I used to just, before 9/11, I used to just take the train out there and just takes 3 or 4 hours, just sit around and talk to people, witness people out at the airport and stuff. And I sat down next to this man one day, three-piece suit man, business guy and everything, started talking to him, and he's going through a divorce, and his tears welled up, and he got really emotional and stuff, and we're talking and stuff, and so I was kind of new in my faith, and so I was taking the train back, and I just was praying, going back, I said, God, why did that man share that with me? And I just felt, didn't hear a voice, just felt deep in my system. He said, because you asked. Just because you ask sometimes. People do want to talk about what they're going through, but they have to feel comfortable to share it with you. See, all of a sudden, we'll tell a real crazy story tomorrow during church, something that happened recently, but the person had to feel comfortable to share it with you. So how we act and behave in those conversations is huge, yes or no? Huge, yeah. The man who did that. Now, again, with the one in the video, still, he did a good job, but I still would have asked some questions, okay? I would have gone a little bit farther, okay? You know, Penn, because he already has the in. He likes him already. You can tell he likes the guy, okay? Penn, by the way, I've just always wanted to ask you a question. That's what I do when I run into celebrities at airports. You know, I said, I've always wanted to ask you a question. That's what I asked Tiger Woods. I said, I always wanted to ask you a question. He said, go for it, okay? I just throw a question and just go for it, okay? Penn, I've heard you're an atheist. What's the best piece of evidence you have found in 50 years to prove that there is no God? What's he banking on? What's he banking it all on? Okay. By the way, Penn, how'd you become an atheist? How'd you become an atheist? Oh, that's a dangerous question. The reason it's dangerous is because you're going to get answers that you didn't think you'd get before. Okay. It's a dangerous, dangerous question, and you'll be stunned at how many atheists will tell you they had a bad experience in a what? Christian setting, okay? I'm in a year ago, April, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, Hampton Inn. I prayed to witness to somebody before I went to my car to drive 3 hours to the Denver airport. So I roll my bag all the way through the hotel, through the kitchen, you know, the breakfast buffet, out to the car, and boom, how many people I chat with? Zero. Okay, so I did a what? U-turn and went back in, okay, and got some tea and stuff. Talking to a guy who's working there, all tattooed up guy. Interesting guy. We start talking about, all of a sudden a man walks past me, and he's coming back and say, hey, did you get one of these? Hand him a gospel track. Hey, did you get one of those? He stands right next to me and starts reading the gospel track right next to me, okay? Like too close personal space, like way, way close. Okay, he's standing right there. It was really awkward because I'm still talking with this other gentleman, okay? And really awkward. So he's all of a sudden, a little bit later, he leaves and he goes over and he stands next to a lady, which I'm assuming is his wife, and they're looking at it together. And so they weren't real tall, so I walked over and I looked over them and And so I just said, what do you think? Okay. He turns on, no, 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 not for me, not for me, no, no, no. Tries to hand it back to me, and I won't take it back, okay? And he's trying to hand it, not for me, not for me. I said, where's that accent from? He said, I'm from France. And I said, really? So what do you do in the middle of Scotts Bluff, okay? But there's a big medical thing there in Scotts Bluff that a lot of people come from around the world for help there and stuff. So he was actually there for a hospital thing and stuff. Because I care about people. What are you doing in Scotts Bluff, okay? He's going through a tough time. So we walk, and we wound up right in front of the checkout counter to check out. And he was giving me all the Friedrich Nietzsche or Nietzsche, God is what? Dead and all that atheism stuff and do that stuff. So I asked him, I said, how'd you become an atheist? Okay? And all of a sudden, he stood in front of that hotel, in front of the desk there, and he said, I grew up in France. He said, I went to a Catholic school in France, okay? And when I was 6 years old, okay, a Catholic priest took me, and he put his hands like against the wall, and then he made a sexual motion with his body, okay? He was raped by a Catholic priest when he was 6 years old, okay? That's his version in view of God, okay? Supposedly what a man of God is, okay? Now, how you handle those is very interesting when you get something like that, but me, I don't know, something hit me a little different that day, and I actually raised my voice. Usually I lower my voice when things begin to happen. So if you're in a situation where it's getting a little tough in front of you, just lower your voice a second, just drop it down a notch, okay, and things just calm down in front of you, okay? For some reason, I raised my voice, and I looked at him, I said, no, sir, that had nothing to do with God, nothing at all. I don't care what he was wearing, okay? That had all the fingerprints of who? Satan, okay? I know fingerprints when I see them. When I see 9/11, that has the fingerprints of Satan. When I walked into a bathroom after one of our kids at our school shot and killed himself, that had the fingerprints of Satan. When I see a sunrise and a sunset, that has the fingerprints of God, you see. When I see someone made in God's image, that has the fingerprints of God. I'm always looking for fingerprints. I'm dusting everywhere I go, okay, trying to find fingerprints. I can figure fingerprints out, okay? Guilty. As charged, God made this universe, okay? But guilty, Satan did that, okay? And no, bingo, we start talking. We start talking back and forth, okay? Asking him questions, going back and forth. Not a presentation, but a what? Conversation, okay? I said, do you like to read? He said, yes, I do. So I gave him the One Heartbeat Away book signed. I gave it to him right there and stuff, and I handed it to him. And I said, so-and-so, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I do. So I went over to shake his hand. But I was going to do more than shake his hand. What else was I going to do? What was I going to do? I was going to hug this man. Because one of my goals was, before he walked out of that conversation, I was going to make sure he had a positive touch from a man of God before he died, instead of what he thought was a negative touch from a man of God, okay? And that can get interesting, okay, when you do that when they want nothing to do with Christianity, okay? So I reached and shook his hand, I moved a little closer, and I pulled him towards me to put an arm around him. Did he hug me, yes or no? Yes, he did. Yeah, he stood there and hugged and held for just a second there, okay? And just a reminder, okay, because see, we're the representative of Jesus Christ. See, I firmly believe that a moment like that can trump everything that happened in the past, okay? Because it's how we finish the race and not how we stand at that moment and do that, okay? So that's why I always have to be ready and make the most out of every opportunity, okay? Be ready to answer every man and do that. So Colossians 4, 2 through 6, okay, is a great little witnessing paragraph for you to know and do that, okay? this talk is called Five Unbiblical Things, okay? So take your piece of paper, write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, leave a little space in between each one. Okay, so very simply, what I'm going to do in 10 minutes, I'm going to give you five unbiblical things in 10 minutes I'm going to say. Your job is to write down what the five unbiblical things are, okay, and be ready with the scripture verse to counteract what I'm going to say. All right, does that make sense? Make sense? Ready to go? Okay, let's test right up front. How many people think they're going to be able to get all five of them? Raise your hand if you think you'll be able to get all five of them. Because what is this? It's a simple test on how you know your Bible is all it really is, okay? Raise your hand up if you think you'll get all five. Just go ahead and raise your hand up. I have two hands up, three hands up, okay? I'm going to guarantee you it's going to be higher than that, okay? But we'll know for sure But then at the end of it, we'll know what every one of these are at the end of it, okay? So that's why I don't fear things when I'm out there and questions I get, because I just have to filter it back through the Word of God and do that, okay? Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 1. Go to, we're going to go fast, okay? Genesis 1, go to verses 21 and verse 21, okay? Genesis 1, verse 21. And God created the great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth, and in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Okay, so when you're looking at Genesis, and it's saying the evening and the morning were the fifth day, that has to refer to a 24-hour time frame, because you have evening and morning, which would be a 24-hour time frame. It can't refer to a great gap of time, okay, because then it wouldn't be evening and morning, okay? Take your Bibles and go to the book of Ecclesiastes. So you can go to Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is right next to what? Where? Proverbs, before or after? It's right after Proverbs, okay? So you have Psalms, you have probably Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes 12. Go to Ecclesiastes 12. All right. Earlier this year, I was in the Indianapolis airport, and as I was going down the moving sidewalk, there was two Jewish people in front of me who had yarmulkes on their head, okay? So I walked a little faster. I got up, hey, how y'all doing? They said, good. I said, are you rabbinic or Orthodox? And the man said, what's the difference? Okay? I meant to say Reformed or Orthodox, which are very different, okay? I totally messed up my opening line to my two Jewish friends, okay? And so I was like, oh. And so we just started talking, asking the question about the Jewish faith and stuff. And I said, where are you coming from? They said, oh, the man said, my mother just died. And he had his son Avramov with him, which is the Hebraic version, the Jewish version of Abraham. And so I said, your grandmother just died. Oh, okay. So we started talking about life and death and stuff. And I said, do you like to read? I said, I love to read. They both say, I love to read. So I signed the book One Heartbeat Away. The editor was on, my editor on this book was a Messianic Jew. Okay, it's got all these little Jewish little flavors in there that Jews really like. So if you have any Jewish people, it's a great book to put in their hand and do it. Sign it, give it to them. We talk a little bit, shake some hands up, and I leave. Okay, I'm sitting in the airport. 30 minutes later, I'm sitting there, and I'm talking with a gentleman who keeps looking over my shoulder. Now, one of the things you do when you're on the street is you have to pay attention. You look at people's eyes. You keep a good look. What did he say? Kept looking them in the eye. And so you keep account, but I'm always watching on the streets because things can happen on the streets at night and stuff like that, all right? So he keeps looking over my shoulder. So I turn and look, and there's Avramov, the 14-year-old boy, came over to find me in the airport. So I said, hey, Avramov, how you doing? I shook his hand. I said, what can I do for you? He said, sir, I'm over here reading your book. See, that's why you plant seeds. You don't know what's happening with that. You plant seeds. Man, this is really interesting. You've got me thinking. I said, well, great. So any question I can answer for you? He said, yes, sir. What are we here for? What's the point of life? What are we here for? Can't God stir that question in a 14-year-old boy, yes or no? Yes, yes. So I took him to Ecclesiastes, and I said, Avramov, I said, Ecclesiastes said 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I said, Avramov, make sure, okay, you keep the commandments of God, okay, and you'll be okay with God when you take your last breath, okay? Go to Luke chapter 22. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22. Let's go to Luke 22. Okay. And start at verse 17, Luke 22, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Am I in the right place? And 18, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, and it will be shed, which is shed for you. Okay, that's why Catholic Church, that's why Protestant churches, we do the celebration of the Eucharist and the wine, because when you take the Eucharist and the wine, it will cleanse you of your sins and do that. Okay, so that's why we do that in our churches and do that, all right? Joshua chapter 1. So go back to Joshua. Joshua's a great book for men who want to read about leadership and manhood, and it's a war book as well. Go to Joshua 1 and go to verse 8. Now, Joshua 1 is very familiar to most of you, and it's just a great book, actually. But Joshua 1, verse 8, the book of the law, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate it therein day and night, and thou mayest observe it to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Okay, now, have you, hopefully, maybe yours, have you heard about churches having yoga and yogic things and meditation, yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, okay. And as you can see, it's biblical because you have Joshua 1:8 right there, but thou shalt meditate. So if you see that in a church, you actually have a biblical way to back that up and do that, okay? Now, another thing to remember is in the coming days, all right, keep your eyes open, okay? Because there are going to be miracles. You're going to see miracles before your eyes, okay? And you want to, if you see a miracle, okay, you know that it takes a greater power to perform a miracle, all right? So with miracles, it's just the same thing that people around Jesus, the Jews at the time, they wanted to see a what? Sign, okay? So it's okay to look at miracles, and then whoever the person who commits the miracle, you know that has to be supernatural, and so wherever they point, you can follow at that point, okay, if you do see a miracle and do that, all right? Go to John chapter 14. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John 14 and go to verse 16. John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Okay, so one of the things when you're talking to Muslims, many Muslims will tell you that the comforter here is who? Anyone know? Muhammad. Okay? So they'll tell you that that the fathers, they're going to leave and God is going to send you another, and that was Muhammad who came in 600 or so AD and do that, okay? That's okay, but because it still doesn't contradict any of the verses, all right, of Jesus being the only way to get there. 1 Timothy 2 to 5, John 14, 6, Acts 4, 12, that you and I went through last night as well and do that, okay? But you're going to get that. I've gotten that actually numerous times from Muslims that I've chatted with, okay? And then go to Galatians 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians 3, and go to verse 28, okay? Galatians 3, 28. Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. Okay, let me back. I know some people are still turning there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, For you are all what? One in Christ. Okay, so this is the verse you're going to see many people use in church settings, that they're going to say that homosexuality is okay within a church because we have here neither male nor female, and we are all what? One in Christ. So those distinctives have moved to the side. So even though you do have the other verses that say no, as we're getting farther in the New Testament here, this kind of trumps those other ones. And so this is a how you can back that up if your church wants to go down that direction, is Galatians 3:28. That's why we don't condemn the sin or anything like that, but actually you can back it up with this verse right there and do that, okay? So Galatians 3, verse 28, okay? All right, that's it. Okay, how many people have five things written down on your paper? Five things. Okay, how many people have three or under written down? Three or under written down. Be honest, three or under. Okay, how many people have more than three written down? More than three. Okay, how many people have more than five written down? Yeah, there were actually more than five, I said. I lied to you up front. How many people realized I also said something true out of the ones, and one of them wasn't a lie? Oh, you caught one? Interesting, okay. Because I actually threw something true in there as well, just to see if you were paying attention to what I was saying and not writing down each of the ones that I said, okay? So someone raise a hand up. Give me one of the ones that you knew was false. Okay, and then tell me why biblically you knew it was false. So let's check our list and see how we did on this, okay? So someone raise a hand up and give me one of the ones that you have on your list and do that, okay? Hands up, please. Something on your list there and do that? Sir, in the back. I'm sorry, ma'am in the back. Yeah, I thought it was the guy behind you with that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, when I was talking to Avramov, the 14-year-old boy, okay. When I was talking with Avramov, the 14-year-old boy, and I took him to Ecclesiastes 12. Now, why did I take the Jewish boy to Ecclesiastes 12? Because it's his scriptures, okay? I took him right to that, okay? And to show him to fear God and to keep his commandments. Now, when I said that to Avramov, all right, did I stop the conversation at that point? No, okay? Because that would have led him to believe that he could get to heaven by his works, okay? Someone raise a hand up. What's a verse we know that just shoots that down big time? What's a verse we know? Romans 3:10 says? None righteous, no, not one. Okay, good one. What's another one we know that just shoots it down big time? Pastor? Okay, go to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Now, a lot of us know this verse, okay, but make sure you have it in your arsenal, underlined or highlighted as well, okay? Because one of the biggest arguments you're going to get in the days to come is that people can be what? Good enough to go to heaven, okay? If you haven't heard it once, you're going to hear it all the time in the days to come. In matter of fact, many people you witness to will tell you they believe in Jesus and what? Their good works. See, they're adding to the cross just by that and doing that, okay? When they start saying that, they talk about Jesus and they start adding to it. Ephesians 2, volunteers, please. 8, 9, and 10. So, going to go 8, young lady 9, and then going to go 10 right there. We'll actually go one more and do that, okay? So, verse 8. Okay, by grace you are saved. Okay, verse 9. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Let's just be honest. If you got to heaven by your works, you'd brag about what you did for all of eternity. How do we know that to be true? Talk to people today. What do they brag about? What they've done. Okay? Nope, you'll be spending all of eternity bragging about that man with the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet. That's what you'll be bragging about for all of eternity, okay? One of the dead giveaways, works can't do it, okay? And then a buddy of mine in Atlanta, he said, never stop there, keep reading verse 10. So verse 10. He has great works he wants you to walk in. He wants your steps ordered, so it might be the third restaurant today before you run into Senator Rick Santorum, you know, and do that. He wants your steps ordered to do that. Okay, he has great works for every one of us. Is that correct? Yeah, I want to walk in those great works, not the crazy things Mark did that doesn't lead me where I want to go anyways and do that, all right? So with Avramov, I said, I took him there about fearing God and obeying God, but I said, then Avramov, you must find out who the Messiah is. And Avramov, the Messiah is Yeshua, is Jesus Christ. That you find out, and it will be later in the book there, okay? My email's on the back there, Avramov, let me know what you think. And he said, okay, he's just a real respectful, kind 14-year-old boy, okay, who loves to read, being raised correctly by his dad, learning scriptures. He goes to a Hebraic school, learning Hebrew and stuff, okay, but he's missing who the Messiah is, okay, and we had an opportunity to do it there, okay. So I did do Ecclesiastes 12, but I went a huge step further to talk about Jesus Christ with him and do that, okay. But he came back up to me 30 minutes later in the airport. That also says something, okay, because that means he didn't fear me from the conversation earlier, and he felt comfortable enough to what? Talk with me still, okay? So how we do it, is that important, yay? Yeah, we speak the truth, but we do it in what? Love, okay, raise a hand up. What's another one of the ones that was incorrect biblically, sir? Okay, Galatians 3, okay? Now, if you go back to Galatians, it's a couple right before this, Galatians 3. Now, this verse, Galatians 3, has been so ripped out of context, okay, for people and how they're using this verse. And as I said that verse, that's exactly how they're using the verse, actually, is to yank it out of context like that and use this. A very famous tennis player, you older folks remember Martina Navratilova, who is a very, very open lesbian. She's actually used this verse before to verify her position and back up her position that lesbianism is okay, but she's never claimed a belief in who? Jesus Christ, okay, which is in the verse as well, and do that, okay? So you have Galatians 3, verse 28, that verse. Now, the other thing to remember about that is this becoming a bigger and bigger issue in the church, yes or no? Yes. For a couple reasons. One, if you ever study the issue of homosexuality, the reason people go down in the gay lifestyle, usually there's three reasons why people walk down that road. One, there's a break in the same-sex relationship to the same-sex parent, okay? So father to son or mother to daughter, there's some break there, okay? A divorce, dad's a truck driver, always gone. There's some break in that relationship, okay? I've heard both of those. Well, the truck driver one actually heard from someone as well and do that, okay? Two, there was an early sexual experience, okay? They were spending the night over a buddy's house, eighth grade. They touched each other. Oops, I must be gay. Nope, you touched each other. That's it. Nothing more than that, okay? Satan will try to play a game. The third one is, and this is the big one, okay, is many of them were molested as a kid. Okay, molested as a kid. I have heard this time and time and time again. Melissa Etheridge, the rock and roll guitarist, okay, she said on a television show, okay, how her uncle molested her over and over and over again as a child, okay? Gender confusion, broken heart, Satan says thank you and starts walking down that road and pulling them down that road, okay? So that's one thing to remember to go down there. A lot of the lesbians I've chatted with had terrible, terrible guy relationships, okay? And some of them said, one lady was telling me how a guy would just burn cigarettes out on her, burn out on her. And then on the inside, it goes, a lady must treat me better than that. And then they walk down that road, not knowing what's at the end of the road. And the end of the road is a lot of danger there and do that, okay? So you have a lot of break in that. But if you have a break in the same-sex relationship, and when we talk about the men's thing this morning, the families have been broken for the last 50 years. That's one of the reasons you're seeing a lot more homosexuality in our culture today. The other reason is because it's so pushed in our faces and do that. It's all coming through the media. If you ever go and work in Hollywood, how many of the people that work on production out there are homosexual, okay? So they're pushing an agenda into a movie, into a TV show and do that, okay? Now, go to 1 Corinthians 6. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6, and go to verses 9, 10, and 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10 and 11. Okay, three volunteers for that, please. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, and 11. Okay, three volunteers. Okay, Jacob 9, Daniel 10, and 11 back there. Do that, okay? Okay, that's a pretty strong list, is it not? That's a strong list. In the beginning of the list, do you not know that they shall not inherit what? The kingdom of God. All I know, as I tell people all the time, is all I want to see when I die is the kingdom of God. That's all I want for eternity is the kingdom of God. If he's saying you're not going to inherit, okay, I got to make sure I'm not in any of these categories here, okay? Watch what happens in verse 10. Okay, this is a longer list now, and God ain't playing. Okay? Let's see what 11 says. 11.
And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God.
Some of you what? Were. Past tense. Past tense. That verse right there breaks down all the false teachings of people in our current churches today trying to say you can be homosexual and serve God at the same point. Okay, now, were. Good organizations, exodus.org, good organization to help people who need to get out of homosexuality. Okay, friend of mine is a Stephen Bennett out of, it's sbministries.org, Stephen Bennett. He was a homosexual man with over 100 partners in the gay lifestyle, repented of his sins, became born again. He's now married with 3 kids. Okay, because it was were. It was past tense. Now, remember this, though, a couple things. One, if you're in the room and you struggle with homosexuality, you absolutely are not the scum of the earth. Just get that one straight. Satan's a deceiver. He deceives people, okay? Two, a lot of the young kids are having this shoved in their faces, especially in the classrooms. California just passed a law where they're now teaching homosexuality in kindergarten, okay? Kindergarten. No, that's where we, isn't that where we do just, you know, paint by numbers and all that? No. They're teaching homosexuality in kindergarten because they're trying to indoctrinate your kids, okay? And what did Carl say? How many hours in the public school system? 900 every single year they're in that school system getting indoctrinated and do that, okay? So you're not the scum of the earth. Two, that sin is forgivable, is that right? Yeah, okay. So just because if you struggle with that attraction, you're not scum of the earth, okay? God's in the business of changing people, molding and shaping people and do that. I had a lady walk up to me today that her son's in the gay lifestyle, okay? Parents, be careful. You're not the scum of the earth as a parent because one of your children walked down that road. Satan is active. He is coming after your children. Okay, but always remember something, okay? Sin doesn't satisfy, okay? Sin doesn't satisfy, okay? And anyone who's living in sin and telling me they're loving it and enjoying it, they're bald-faced lying. I don't care what the sin is. They're bald-faced lying in a locker room when they talk about this stuff. I've heard it 1,000 times, okay? I'm on a plane flight to... And of course, one of the things in the men lifestyle, the gay lifestyle, is they have tons and tons of partners, tons and tons of them. It's just absolutely insane when you study this, okay? I was going to Jamaica on a plane flight, witness to a lady next to me, good conversation. She fell asleep. I wondered if it was me, and she was asleep. So I got up and went up and started talking to the flight attendant, and he was very effeminate and all that stuff. So we started talking. He was very open about his homosexuality. So he said he kept talking about his husband, okay? And that just ain't right, okay, his husband. So I said, okay, how many years you and so-and-so been together? He said, 38 years. I said, okay, I got a question for you. In 38 years of you two being together and whenever you get together and whatever you do together, okay, have you ever thought that was wrong? That's a pretty direct question to ask a human being on the middle of a flight to Jamaica. Near the door he can open and get rid of me real quick as well to do that. Did you ever think what you two do together is wrong? His answer was, yes. Yes. Why would you even think it was wrong if you were born that way and all that? How could he answer that question? Because he has a conscience just like the rest of us do. Has a conscience, okay? And there's only one way you can come to that conclusion if you're a Christian is if you walk away from this book. The Episcopal Church is splitting right down the middle. The Methodist Church is splitting right down the middle. And the Presbyterian Church is splitting right down the middle over 2 main issues. Someone raise a hand up. Tell me what those 2 main issues are. They're splitting right down the middle. What's one of them? Someone raise a hand up. What's one of them? homosexuality. What's the other one? Anyone know what the second one is? Now, someone said abortion, and again, that's probably a third one. What I didn't know when I got kicked out of the Episcopal National Conference in Cincinnati was that the Episcopal diocese in Cincinnati was taking part of your tithe. So you tithe, it's like Catholic. When you tithe at a church, part of your tithe goes to the Archdiocese of Atlanta or Cincinnati. They were taking a part of your tithe that came in and gave it to Planned Parenthood of Cincinnati. That part of your tithe you gave on Sunday was killing babies in Cincinnati. I didn't even know that about the Episcopal. That's one of them. What's the other one? Anyone know the other one they're splitting on? Yeah, women priests. Those are the big ones. Okay, those are really the three big ones right there, okay? So that's why I have to know what book, this book, and filter everything what? Back through this book. So remember, if you struggle with any of those areas, have struggled, will struggle, you're not the scum of the earth. Come running to the cross of Jesus Christ. And by the way, Satan doesn't give up. He'll still try to press that button in your life, okay, to pull you back down and do that, okay? But that's a verse people try to use to back up that position, but that's actually taking it way, way, way out of context. So he raised a hand up. What's one of the other ones that we had? Jake? Okay, yeah, Galatians 1 is strong. If you're preaching a different gospel, okay, well, let's go to Galatians 1. Go to Galatians 1. Good pickup there, Jake. Go to Galatians 1. Okay, Jake, do 8 for us, Jake.
But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that preached to you, let him be condemned.
As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel than what ye have received, let him be what? Accursed. He repeats himself, okay? When I was a young kid, my mama would tell me certain things, and later in the day, she would say something to me, and I would say, Mom, I didn't hear you, okay, when she said it to me earlier in the day. That's called a what? That's a lie. I'd lie to my mother, okay? Now, my mom, who knew this rebellious kid pretty well, okay, what she would do was she would tell me that thing twice, okay? Because then she knew at no point could I say what? I didn't hear you, okay? So I always knew as a young man, when mama repeated something twice, it was an important thing. Young man, don't you dare forget what she just said. I knew that, okay? Because that's how mama was dealing with this rebellious child, okay? God repeats the exact same thing in back-to-back verses. He's not playing. False gospel and false teaching, he is going to judge. Now, we wonder sometimes why he hasn't wiped out some of these false teachers we see all the time on TV and books and stuff like that, okay? God's giving him time to what? Repent and get out of it is what he's doing. He's a gracious God, a merciful God, and do that, okay? And do it. So that's where you get Galatians 1 is a heavy, heavy chapter. And those verses right there, 6 through 9, and we went through 10 the other day. Back up to John 14, and I'll show you the real trick with that verse, all right? Has anyone heard that before from a Muslim that they believe Muhammad is the comforter? Oh, you haven't heard that? Oh, no, you're going to get that from them, okay? So go to John 14, and I'll show you the whole trick to it. John 14, what verse was it? 16. John 14, verse 16. Okay, here's the trick. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Well, there's part of the giveaway. What's the giveaway? Forever. Muhammad wouldn't be with you forever and do that, okay? That's part of the giveaway. Two, good things to write down. When you read your Bible, don't read a verse. Read verses, plural. Okay, when you read your Bible, don't read a verse. Read verses, plural, okay? Don't read a text. Read a context. Very, very important. Don't read a text. Read a context, okay? Because how people get into false doctrine is they cherry pick a verse, twist it, and then they go down a false road. Does that make sense what I just said? Okay, now, here's another good one. I have a lady friend out of Salt Lake City, and she's helped me with some of this stuff I'm researching on. And she got caught up in a cult for 14 years. Okay, she repented, got out of that cult, and she is a biblical knowledge machine, okay, because she got into a group that twisted Scripture. So she's trying to protect herself against what? Ever happening again, okay? So she told me, and I love this, she reads her Bible with 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision. Okay, she reads a verse, she reads the 20 verses before it, and the what? 20 verses after it. She reads every verse that way, okay? Because she says if you don't understand the context what's happening, that's how she got into a false cut. So she reads everything with 20/20 vision. John 14, verse 16, just go to verse 26. Just go 10 verses ahead. 10/10 vision. But the Comforter, which is the what? Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It tells you right there who the Comforter is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's nothing but the Holy Spirit. There is no possible way to get Muhammad out of that unless you twist Scripture and don't know the verse 10 after that, whom the Father will send in my what? Name. Okay? So when you read your Bible, don't read a verse, read what? Verses. Don't read a text, read a what? Context. Read your Bible with what? 20/20 vision, okay? That's how you protect yourself and protect your kids from false teaching down the road. Okay, hand up. What's another one in there, ma'am? Okay, taking communion saves you. Okay, now, we won't go to the verse, but remember the verse that I used and do that. What was the verse I used? It was Luke. That's right. It was Luke. Also right there in Luke 17:2-20, right in there, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. Okay? And 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 says, do this in what? Remembrance of me. That's all it is. It says in remembrance of me. Now, in Catholicism, which is different than Protestantism, they have what's called the Eucharist. Okay? And they have something called what's called transubstantiationism. Somebody raise a hand up if you know what the word transubstantiationism means. Sir? They actually believe the high point of Lowell, did you preach Wednesday night on legalism at your church? How'd your talk go? Went well. I was in his office down in Des Moines, and he was working on his talk on legalism stuff, and he was preaching at his church on Wednesday evening. So at that service, when Lowell was preaching, the high point of a Protestant church service is when we do what? When we do what? We open up the Word of God and break down the Word of God. Okay, because this is the high point of it when we do that. The worship, everything leads towards the study and the application of the Word of God. Does that make sense? Yes? Yeah, and that's it. It's the opening of the Word of God. Is that true in a Catholic Mass? No. The high point in a Catholic Mass is when you come behind the altar and the priest has the power in their teaching to turn the Eucharist into the actual body of Christ and the wine into the actual blood of Jesus Christ, okay? And so what they're actually doing is re-crucifying who? Jesus Christ over and over and over again on altars in Catholic churches, a Catholic Mass. The high point of the Mass is that. So when you take it, it actually teaches you in Catholicism, when you take the Eucharist, it will cleanse you of your sins, which would make some sense if it was the body of Christ, but it's what? Not the body of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, so they took a teaching and twisted the teaching to try to fit that and do that, okay? So again, if you walk into a Catholic church, you'll see something called, anyone here former Catholics? Any former Catholics in here? Yeah, when I go like to upstate New York to preach, I ask that question in an audience, and sometimes 90% of the church are former Catholics, okay? And it's always fun because I told you I got kicked out of that school in California because of the issue of Catholicism. So I always ask the audiences all the time with the former Catholics, by the way, is Catholicism and Protestant the same thing? What's the audience do at that point? Don't even try it. I mean, because once you've been on one side to the other, you just totally know the difference between a relationship with the true Son of the Most High God and do that. It's so obvious in the world and do that. But they'll have what's called a monstrance. If you walk into a Catholic church, You'll see a big Eucharist sitting in a big gold thing with a bunch of spikes on it. You ever seen that before in a Catholic church? Big spikes on it, called a monstrance. You can look it up on the internet and do that, okay? What they have is what's called perpetual adoration. They want people to kneel in front of the Eucharist and pray to the Eucharist 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay? They actually have sign-up sheets in the Catholic Church to do this. Okay? Because they believe it's what? Who? Jesus Christ. So they would adore the Eucharist. Nope, graven image and nothing more. Okay, see, that's why you have to know the scripture and do that. So again, that was one of the other ones in there, okay? Were there any other ones? Was there any other ones on there? What'd you have? Okay. How many people wrote down the one about meditation in Joshua 1:8, okay? Yeah, be very careful with that, okay? Go to Psalm chapter 1 and go to verse 2. Psalm 1, verse 2. Go to Psalm 1 and verse 2. Okay, volunteer. Psalm 1, verse 2, sir. Okay, is meditation in the Bible, yes or no? Yes, it is. It's in the Bible, okay? But always watch this. If I'm talking to a Mormon and he mentions Jesus and I mention Jesus, is it the same word? Okay, is it the same word? Yes. Does that same word have two different definitions? Yes, that's the difference, okay? So just because you use the same word as somebody, I call it defining terms. So I told you the other day, when you're in a conversation, good three questions. Who is God? Who is Jesus? And what is salvation? Three great things to cover in any conversation with anybody, especially anybody from a cult. Okay? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Okay? And what is salvation? Those are very friendly questions to ask. But now you're going to cut to the chase. Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is salvation? So when they say the word meditate and we say the word meditate, is it the same definition? No. In the yogic type things, the Hindu type things, part of what is that you empty yourself, okay, and empty yourself to try to become one with God in the universe. Will you ever see in the Bible trying to empty yourself? No. Because when you do that, you have now invited something to what? Come in. And you've opened up your world to the demonic. Okay, very, very important you understand this. When you see this yoga junk in your churches, you better stand against it because it's opening up for the demons to come and mess with people in there because they're also going to use types of music that puts you into an altered state of consciousness. And you're not thinking. You're emptying yourself and you're not actually thinking. Now, wait a minute. What did he just say? He said meditate, but meditate upon what? The Word of God. Yeah, so meditation is correct. You ever been reading the Word of God and that verse just slams you in the chest, okay? And you stop and you start what? Meditating and think about what that verse means right there. That is proper biblical meditation. Be very careful of the blending of the different religions together, and that's what you're seeing, the yogic principles. There's a a good website, lighthousetrailsresearch.com. lighthousetrailsresearch.com, and she has, and her husband have totally looked into this whole meditation, a lot of the new age stuff that's blended into our churches today, okay? And again, if your little sensor, lighthousetrailsresearch.com, and if something in your sense or your conscience goes off that something doesn't sound right, it's probably because it isn't right. We have those sensors in us, is that correct? Yeah, God gave us that stuff, okay? But always test it against what? The Word of God. Meditation is correct, but both of those verses, Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1:2, said meditate upon the Word of the Lord, okay? And was there any other one in there? You had another one? What did you have, Matt? Okay. Very, very good, Matt. Go to Deuteronomy 13, okay? Go to Deuteronomy 13. Go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy, great book, yes or no? That's loaded. Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Three times he questions Jesus. Three times Jesus responds to Satan. Okay? Did he respond with his own words? What did he respond with? He's responded with the Word of God. He had scripture that came back every single time. All three of his quotes come from one book. What's the book? It's Deuteronomy. Yeah, he quoted Deuteronomy three straight times to Lucifer. So it hit me one day as I was reading that and learning about that, and it hit me one day. If Deuteronomy is good enough for Jesus, Deuteronomy better be good enough for me. Okay, I better know Deuteronomy and do that. Sir?
Yeah,